Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Happy Monday, everybody. Off and rolling on another one. And looking forward to another big week. And then we go away for a week. Stop cheering.
Just a little quick recharge before we go full bore end of the month and into football season.
Yeah, exactly. So we're looking forward to it.
We are.
Yeah, very much. But I'm looking for, you know what? I'm not a person that needs big time recharge. I'll do it. I'll enjoy it. I mean, let's face it. I really enjoy doing the show. So, I enjoy doing it. Can't wait to go to Penn's Tavern. That's what I can't wait for. I think that's going to be a fun night.
3 weeks from today.
Yeah. Is the soup going to be there?
Yeah, he'll be there.
How big is this place?
Well, there's an inside part and there's a back deck. So.
Ah, good. Okay. Plenty of room to operate then.
Don't worry. Wakeman will be there too, and she'll get you an update on how her golfing lessons are going as well.
You know how much I like Jen.
Absolutely.
So Jen and I get along really, really well. We had a great time. And hopefully when we play golf again next year, she's out there on the team. That's I think she's non-negotiable. Non-negotiable.
Oh, she's part of the foursome. As long as she's receiving checks from Sunbury Broadcasting, there's just, no getting out of it now. Huh?
Jeremy Hellickson's still a filly.
Well, we got 49 minutes left to go here, right? 4 o'clock, the deadline time?
Yeah. I tell you, there was a lot of talk Detroit might be thinking, and Detroit's not thinking anymore.
I just saw something that Carlos Beltran going to the Yankees. Bleacher Report reported.
No, he'd be leaving the Yankees.
Yes.
Yes, but to where? There's a lot of talk he was going to be traded anyway. Believe it or not, the Red Sox were looking at him. Like the Red Sox. Now, he's stocking it. Brian Cashman has decided that it is the 1990s all over again. And he is restocking the farm system. Because, look, what made the Yankees great? Really? After everything with George Steinbrenner and what Steinbrenner did with free agents, I'm going to sign Dave Winfield, Don Gullett, Reggie Jackson, Goose Gossage, over and over, the various guys he brought in over time. When they finally hit that dynasty, it was homegrown Derek Jeter, homegrown Jorge Posada, homegrown Bernie Williams, homegrown Mariano Rivera. I mean, they built from within, from their own farm system. That's what did it. So that's what he's doing again. He's rebuilding the farm system. So, all right, so where's he going here?
Texas Rangers.
The Rangers? Every year the Rangers, in the last six years, seem to pull off some deal. I have to give them credit. They get Dylan Tate.
Right.
Fourth round pick in 2015. They've now added eight prospects in three trades. So they get eight prospects in three trades. Now, if they hit on four of them, half, that is darn good. And Beltran at 39 is having himself quite a year.
Yeah, he's a lot better year than I thought. 22 homers, 21 doubles, slugging percentage at .546 and 64 RBIs.
Now, as for Dylan Tate, he has been with Hickory, their Class A team in the Sally League, the South Atlantic League. And it's fine. This is, you know, the other part is you look at, and then there's the Pirates deal with Melanson. I'm not sure Pirate fans know what to make of this. I think they're struggling as to know, you know, what do we make of this? And that's the issue. Is it the white flag? Is it financial for the future? Is it all the above? All right, let's start with this. Number one, they were not going to re-sign Melanson. They weren't going to do it. Simple as that. So you start there. Number two, since you were going to re-sign him, and you don't want to lose him for nothing, you get two players out of it, one that's currently there, and then Taylor Hearn, whom I've seen before. Hearn has a big-time arm, but he's hurt. I think he's a leg injury or something he has. And they feel they have some other people in the bullpen that can hang in there. Now, this is not exactly the big weekend to tell everybody that, after what they did in Milwaukee. It's not exactly the right time. And the Cubs may not be playing awesome, but guess what? They keep winning. Right? Cubs keep winning. How about last night's comfort behind win? Something else. Give them a lot of credit. That's only their second walk-off win this year. That's it. So, very interesting. And the Jeremy Hellickson's still a Philly. Really? Really. Now, Hellickson's really hurt himself of late. He's only 4-1 with a 2.27 ERA in his last seven starts. He's killing himself. But the Yankees are rebuilding through their farm system. If they can hit on four of the eight prospects they've received, it's a bonanza. If they hit on three of eight, that's really good. Now, you know, the possibility is that they hit on none of them, too. Then the Mets have acquired Jay Bruce. But the problem is that there is a physical that has not been passed. Okay. They red flagged the Pocono race because of fog? Are you kidding me? You're kidding me.
Wonder how much of the track's covered in fog. Wow.
Chris Buescher is the leader at Pocono. The race has been red flagged with 21 laps remaining because of fog. He can't make it on fuel. The rest of the drivers have pitted. NASCAR hopes to restart the race, but there's also a chance for rain. If the race doesn't resume, he'd pull the upset for his first career win, and he doesn't have enough fuel to get to the finish line if they go 21 laps. That's priceless. They've red flagged because of fog? I've never heard of that before. It's a distinct possibility, but usually, like, that's like in April up here, October, something. Wow. What kind of sports does the suit follow? Oh, well.
He's Mr. Four Wheel.
That conjures up too many images. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Speaking of the suit cannot be happy with the fact that Target is pulling out of Indy Racing, a prime sponsor. I think their quote was, "We can't get anybody real to go to these things." No, I'm just kidding. That was a joke. But they are pulling out. That's big news. Jeremy Hellickson, still a Philly at this hour. You know, one thing about Hellickson, he is just 29 years old. Now, the Phillies can re-sign him for a one-year option at $15 million. They can do that. So it's not like, evidently they want a top-five prospect for him. But as of right now, he is not exiting Philadelphia. And supposedly they talked to the Tigers, and the Tigers were like, nah, I don't think so. And it's not as if there are some people that can't use him. He's been hot down the in the last, 5 weeks? He has a 3.70 ERA for the year, but he's 2.27 in his last seven starts. He's 4-1. Eats up some innings. And interesting. I thought he for sure, but again, you know, can you can you get the max out of the deal? And that's what Philadelphia's looking for. If they don't like the deal, they can walk away. You don't have to act desperate on these things. You know, you can walk away. You don't have to prove to the world that you're doing something by, you know, if I do this, I'll have the big press conference and they'll all think I'm doing something. If you look around and say it's not the best thing to do, you can walk away. So if the Phillies walk away, because, you know, when it comes to prospects, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, nothing's guaranteed. For example, the Pirates' top prospect, I guess what, their number two prospect in the entire chain, is actually here tonight, Austin Meadows. Well, Austin Meadows was a first-round pick in 2013. Now, he did start the year in Altoona, which is a natural progression. You know, I mean, sometimes you think with higher-rated prospects, it'd be a little quicker progression through the chain. But he got the double A. Now he's doing a rehab. That's why he's here with West Virginia. But that's it. It takes a long time for these prospects to come to fruition. It takes a long time to do that. And that's, and it's also hard to get excited, in my opinion, about prospects, because you're just not going to do it until they actually make something happen on a major league level. The Phillies are in a spot right now where going for the future is exactly the right thing to do. But teams that constantly go for the future never end up having a present. And that then becomes a problem. The Phillies are not there yet. Take, for example, the Pirates. I think the Pirates have brought themselves to an 80% level. Like, what do you mean 80%? Good enough to get into the playoffs, not good enough to advance. And somehow you have to get yourself to that 90% level where you're good enough to advance, because if you're good enough to advance, then you catch a break here or there and it becomes a championship year. The Pirates have done a lot of good in the last 3 years of getting people really excited about baseball in Pittsburgh again, getting young people excited about Pittsburgh baseball again. And that's something when you're building for the future, to get people excited in you and excited in your product is really great. You know, winning and doing it with young players accomplishes that. And they've done that. And these fans, I mean, they're a group of fans or young fans that are going to be fans for the rest of their lives. Not all of them will be, but a good chunk of them will be the rest of their lives because of this stretch they put in now. But they're not quite there yet. Marte's getting better. Polanco's getting better. McCutchen has fallen back. He has to recapture something. You trade a guy like Melanson, short-term it hurts. Probably long-term it's the right thing to do. But closers are not easy to come by. Great closers are not easy to come by, that's for sure. All right, Matt Leon, next half hour, we'll talk to him about the trade deadline and also about the early days of Eagles camp. It's all coming up in the next half hour of the show. It's great to have you with us. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They will give you the best price, the right insurance. I don't care if it's personal, commercial, business insurance. They'll take care of it. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The agents I trust. Matt Leon, next half hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades. They give back, too. But when it comes to the business of insurance, I don't care if it's personal, commercial, business, whatever it happens to be, they'll find you the right insurance, the best insurance, at the right price. And then if there's a claim, they act as if it happened to them. You have to have a great relationship with your insurance agent, and the Purdy's
check every box. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Roads 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Before we get to Matt Leon in Philadelphia, this day in sports history. 1945, Mel Ott. That big high leg kick hit his 500th career home run for the New York Giants. 1972, Joe Namath signed a two-year contract worth $500,000 with the New York Jets. 1976, the Seattle Seahawks played their first preseason game. They lost to the 49ers 27-20. 1978, Pete Rose of the Reds had his 44-game hitting streak ended by the Atlanta Braves. This, to me, was the first indication of a test of character with him. Because I remember Gene Garber struck him out in the ninth inning on a high fastball, and he did nothing in the postgame but complain about them not pitching to him all night, as if the Braves owed it to the world to pitch to him to get the 45th game. Right. Jason Day yesterday, defending PGA champion, number one player in the world, falls by one shot to Jimmy Walker, who wins the PGA. What does Jason Day do? He said, well, you know what? I was better than everybody else in the field scoring-wise except for one guy. He says, and I was thrilled for him. I think it's great what he did today. Oh, my goodness. Class. Pete Rose? No. 1986, Burt Blyleven became only the 10th pitcher to strike out 3,000 batters in a career. What a curveball he had. And in 1993, Reggie Jackson into baseball's Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. That's this day in sports history. Turn our attention now to Philadelphia. Phillies, of course, and we bring in Matt Leon. We're going to talk about the Eagles here, too, as well. Matt, welcome. I guess at this hour, Jeremy Hellickson is still eligible to pay area taxes.
I mean, I've said for a while, it makes just a ton of sense to move him. I mean, they've got a guy in the minors in Jake Thompson ready to take that spot in the rotation. Would it be a risk to have five guys in your starting rotation that are all first- or second-year players? Obviously, but this is a team that they're not going anywhere this year. It's about development. And Hellickson's been really good. I can't imagine Jeremy Hellickson having any more value than he does right now as far as if you're going to flip him. I mean, you could always – he's a free agent at the end of the year. They could send a qualifying offer to him, get a draft pick for him. There is value in that. But I think they'd be better served, especially there's not a ton of starting pitching out there, and you can probably get somebody to overpay. I still think there's a good chance he moves, but so far today I haven't seen that much smoke that leads you to believe that something's really close. But these things can happen in a hurry.
8-7 with a 3.70 ERA, but that's the overall number. Last seven games, he's 4-1 with a 2.27 ERA. The iron is not going to get any hotter.
No, and if you've watched him all year, he's just a pro. I mean, he had one or two starts maybe early on in the first month of the season where he really got bombed. But, I mean, other than that, you can pretty much write in six, seven innings, six, seven hits, one, two, three runs. He's going to keep you in the game. He's more than going to give you a chance to win. He's been economical with his pitches, you know, a lot of low-stress innings. So, you know, is he an ace? No. But if you're a contender and you're just looking for somebody to pad out a rotation, or, you know, as a four or five, you're going to be hard-pressed to do any better than Jeremy Hellickson. And also, he's only 29. I mean, he's a guy you could acquire, and, yeah, you'd have to re-sign him or whatever, but if he keeps pitching like this, then the argument can be made for keeping him, too. And I'm sure the Phillies are seriously considering that. If you wanted to keep him as a mentor, I don't think anybody's going to kill you for it. But I just think value-wise, you know, he's just pitched some of his best baseball at the absolute most opportune time.
And by the way, the Phillies can offer him a one-year contract worth $15 million if he becomes a free agent. So, I mean, that is an option down the road.
What's interesting is that the Phillies have now gone, oh man, I'm trying to think what the number is. They have, their last nine wins have been followed by a loss. They have not been able to put together a two-game winning streak now in weeks. What has contributed to, I guess, up and down, I guess, is the best way to put it?
I think we're back where we were for the first couple months of the season with the offense. For the most part, the starting pitching has still been good. You're still kind of trying to figure out what's with Aaron Nola. I think he had a start against Miami a couple weeks ago where he pitched really well, and I think everybody kind of exhaled that he was back on track. And then his last start, he was, you know, you were kind of like, okay, kind of all over the place again. But for the most part, Velasquez, Eichhoff, we've talked about Hellickson, and Zach Eflin got roughed up in his last start. But for the most part, Zach Eflin's been really good as a rookie. But they just don't score enough runs. They don't have a lot of quality at bats. They may be one of the worst base running teams I've ever seen as far as just making silly outs on the bases. I'm not talking about caught stealings and stuff like that and getting thrown out trying to score a sack fly.
It's an epidemic in this state, okay? Because the team in the western half of the state doesn't exactly put on a base running clinic either.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is the way the Phillies team's constructed, you would think that the base running would just have to be excellent because they're not built to score a lot of runs, at least especially at the beginning of the year. But there are a lot of guys like I'm a Cesar Hernandez guy, but boy, he just shows a lack of instincts on the bases. Odubel Herrera does some things that make you shake your head. I mean, they don't have a ton of speed, but I mean, just so many needless outs on the bases between guys getting picked off, guys not picking up the baseball and trying to take an extra base where it's foolhardy. And, you know, third base coach Juan Sanuel, I think, has to get some of the blame too, because there are a lot of times when you're watching the game on TV and you think, oh, well, there's no chance. The guy ran through a stop sign and you look at the replay and they're waving him home. So that's something. But the main problem is the offense. Odubel Herrera has cooled off a lot. I mean, the first couple months, he was really the most consistent guy. Still very good, but you're not getting quite the consistent presence from him getting on base. Tommy Joseph's either all in or all out since he's been called up. He's either been red hot where he can hit anything or he struggles to make contact. Mikel Franco's really struggling right now. Aaron Altair had a big game when he first came off the DL the rest of the series in Atlanta. I don't think he got a hit. So there's work to be done there. You know, their second most consistent player right now offensively might be Cameron Rupp, the catcher. So a work in progress, to be sure. They're more explosive offensively than they were early in the season. They've got more power in the lineup than they had early in the season. But it's just not something they can count on a consistent basis.
If they keep Hellickson, do you think they keep Thompson down on the farm, or do you still open the door to bring him up?
I think you bring him up because there's really nothing left for him to prove at AAA. And, you know, I'm not a fan of it, but there has been some rumblings that if you do that, you could go six-man rotation for the rest of the year. Like I said, I'm not a fan of it, but I can see the argument with so many young arms. You maybe take some of the pressure off. Maybe everybody gets, you know, one start less. You're kind of you're able to kind of top off some innings that way. I think that's a possibility. But he really has nothing left to prove at the AAA level.
All right, Eagles camp, what's the vibe so far there?
Quiet. It's about as quiet surrounding an Eagles camp as I've ever remember. There's just not a lot of, I don't want to say fans aren't excited, there's just not a lot of buzz. I think Doug Peterson doesn't move the needle a little bit as a new head coach. I think there's excitement for Carson Wentz, but people genuinely don't believe that he is going to play this year. So I think there's a lot of people that think that, you know, they're not excited about Bradford.
Philadelphia fans are passionate about their teams. But the Eagles, I think, draw on a high passion meter more than anybody else. So are you really surprised that it's really that flat around them?
I am. Everything there, that hasn't been a bad camp, like there hasn't been a bad injury, anything like that, and it just, They had an open practice at the link yesterday, and they had 18,000 people. When they've done that in the past, they've drawn 30 to 40. Wow. So, wow. I mean, that's like something you kind of look at and go, wow, that's it. Now, to be fair, Sunday morning is not the most opportune time for people, and it's been the weather has been awful with heat and humidity. So, you know, it's one of the things that if you're not really, if you kind of look at this and go, oh, they're going to go 6-10, and if Wentz isn't going to play, what's the, you know, there's not really much to really get juiced for. You know, maybe you're just like, hey, you know what, I'll just wait for the season to start. But it's the quietest I can ever remember surrounding everything. There's not a ton of compelling storylines. There's not a ton of compelling battles to watch. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. I think once they start the exhibition games and the, you know, people start getting the appetite whetted, you know, you'll probably get back to where you were. But right now, it has been very, very calm.
Hmm. And what, they have Tampa Bay first, I think.
Yeah, they got Tampa Bay, and I, you know, maybe I'm forgetting something, but I can't ever remember them playing Tampa Bay. You could usually put their exhibition schedule together before you even knew it, just based on, you know, Steelers, Jets, Patriots, Ravens,
right. Yeah.
And it was just a matter of who they played and where they played them. But they've got the Bucs this year, and they've also got the Colts.
Yeah, okay, that's different. Maybe there will be more buzz once they get going, because obviously, what did I want to say? August 9th. Is that the first?
August 11th.
August 11th, so first.
August 11th, okay. Yeah.
And that'll be with Tampa Bay. And it'll be the first chance. Maybe they'll get a chance to see Wentz, and then suddenly they'll go, hey.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just interesting. It's just, I think it's a comp. I don't think it's one total thing. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. But I think there's also, not your hardcore people. And even though he's not here, I think the Chip Kelly regime really turned a lot of people off. It was just, it was so laced with arrogance. And I think maybe some of your casual people were like, you know what, maybe I'm not as into it as I thought. Now, they win their first two games. That all goes out the window.
Oh, yeah. They win the first two games, and suddenly, I mean, you know, you can tear down the William Penn thing. Doug Peterson.
Exactly. Then we're determining whether the parade goes down Broad Street or goes down Market.
Right, exactly. But I'll say this about Chip Kelly. You cannot treat people consistently like you're always the smartest person in the room and that the fans are dumb, the media is dumb, I'm the only one that knows, and then never give any answers and then show nothing in performance.
Oh, absolutely, and regress in performance, you know, every year being worse than the last. And every year being worse than the last with, you know, you giving away, in some cases giving away, but trading away and cutting ties with your most talented players. I mean, when he first started doing that, I think a lot of people thought, well, Chip's got a plan here, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And after a while, they're like, okay, I really feel like he's just getting rid of guys he doesn't like.
Right, exactly.
And that's a pretty big alarm bell for me.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like you. You're leaving. I like him. He's going to show up. Yeah, but he's coming off an ACL. He's fine. It's all good.
Yeah. So I'll be very interested. I want to see how he does in San Francisco.
Yeah. Do not look at the man behind the curtain.
Yeah. So it really, you know, I think there's a combination of a lot of things, but it's definitely interesting around here. Surrounding them as, they're going to always dominate the talk radio discussion and stuff like that,
oh, yeah.
But, not a lot of compelling storylines right now.
He's got to do better than Jim Tom Sula, don't you think? He's got
to. You would think.
Yeah.
You would think.
Yeah.
I mean, if nothing else, there'll always be stuff to talk about because that's just how it works with Chip. But, you know, he might have less talent there than he had here. So,
oh, my God.
We'll see.
Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks, my friend.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Matt Leon, KYW Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment. The Big 12 being told by the TV networks, I don't think there's anybody out there that can help you in expansion. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Priority Insurance.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. my agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent. Pretty Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Welcome back. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. The Big 12 is talking openly about expansion. Idealistically, they'd like to have something rolling before Labor Day, just so the topic does not dominate the season. The problem they're having right now is that in talking to their television partners at both ESPN and Fox, they're not enamored with what they're doing, saying that you will lessen the value of the league by expanding. This is interesting because there is no home run out there. BYU probably has the best football tradition of all. I don't think there's any doubt about that in the group of schools you're looking at. 65,000-seat stadium, 21,000-seat basketball arena. But right now, the contract that they have is this. They have a 13-year, $2.6 billion TV deal. Now, you think to yourself, wow, that's great. Let me put it to you in perspective. The Big Ten has a $2.5 billion TV deal upcoming, which is $100 million less than the Big 12's deal. Except here's the problem. The Big Ten has seven fewer years on there. It's not a 13-year deal. It's a six-year deal for that amount of money. They're getting exponentially more money than everybody else in the Big 12. So who makes sense? Houston's a big market, top five, but don't you get that with Texas? Central Florida gives you Orlando, but does that move the needle? UConn, does that move the needle? Cincinnati, does that move the needle? Memphis? Tulane, SMU, East Carolina. Now, Colorado State. Now, Colorado State's a little more interesting because they do bring with it, you know, Fort Collins is close enough to Denver. And Colorado State has actually had some good football recently, from Sonny Lubick to Jim McElwain and now Mike Bobo. They have a newly renovated, done 41,500-seat stadium, which would be the smallest in the Big 12. But Denver is certainly an attractive market. But when the TV people are telling you, I think you'd lessen the value of the league, they have a problem. There are only three conferences where people don't leave: the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the SEC. People go to them. Utah and Colorado go to the Pac-12. Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland go to the Big Ten. Missouri, Texas A&M, they go to the SEC. I mean, the ACC lost one. The Big 12 lost four of them. It's a big problem. Look, there's no home run left out there except for Notre Dame, and they're not going to the Big 12. Notre Dame's the only home run left. And Notre Dame's got this sweetheart deal with the ACC where the ACC got in the field position and caved. We just want to have Notre Dame in there. Okay. What do you want? Here, take it. All credit to Notre Dame. They get what they want out of it. No credit to the ACC. Second hour coming up.